on ground. If it is not able to do so, lo klumhi, it's not even a dir sarai, it's nothing. If it's able to withstand unusually strong winds at on the ground, which would be the equivalent of the normal winds at sea, it's a very strong sukkah, and everyone would agree it's kosher. Ki pligi, the machlokas of Rabbi Yekiva and Rabbi Gamliel lies in this point. They argue where it's able to stand, to withstand the winds that are common on the ground, but would not be able to withstand the winds that are uncommon on the ground. Does the sukkah need to be able to withstand uncommonly strong winds on the ground, which would be the equivalent of a normal wind at sea, or not? That's the machlokes. Rabban Gamliel savar sukkah diras keva boinan became the inyan chul lamed baruch mitzuyid deyam lo klumi. Rabban Gamliel says we need a sukkah to be a diras keva. That's his opinion. Sukkah needs to be diras keva. It has to be somewhat of a permanent dwelling structure. If I'm going to build a structure, I'm going to build it to withstand any possible natural condition. You know, ruach she'ena mitzuya isn't that uncommon. It's a very unusually strong wind, but you have storms, you have things. And when you build a house, you're not going to build a house just for the perfect conditions, for the normal conditions. You're going to build it to withstand even slightly unnormal conditions. So he holds a sukkah has to also have that dimension to be a dira. He holds that sukkah dira is keva bulinan. And therefore, since it's not built to withstand unusually strong winds, which would be the on ground level, which would be the equivalent of this, a normal wind at sea, lo klumi, it's nothing. It doesn't count as a sukkah. And Rabbi Akiva savar sukkah diras arai boinan v'kimad yichul lamed baruch mitzuyah diyabasha kasheira. Rabbi Akiva says, since we hold sukkah diras arai boinan, we need a sukkah to be a diras arai. Sukkah only needs to be a temporary dwelling structure. And therefore, it'll have a shame dira. It'll be considered a dira. It'll be significant, even if it's only able to withstand the normal conditions. It would still be a sukkah. So they're not necessarily arguing by specifically our case whether the sukkah is at sea. That's not really what the point of the machlokas is. The point of the machlokas is, any sukkah, does it have to be able to withstand the equivalent of the normal winds at sea? Or is it only, does it only have to be able to withstand the normal winds at ground level? So Rabbi Akiva says, since the sukkah is able to withstand normal winds on the ground, on the yabasha, so, and most people make their sukkahs on the yabasha, that's the normal place to make the sukkah is kosher. Oh, you made it at sea, and it's not able to withstand that. Okay, that's a side issue. So when it blows away, you lost your sukkah. But as far as the sukkah itself, it's a kosher sukkah. And we'll get into that again a little bit as we go further. Okay. Everyone clear? That was okay? All right. Just to go into what is Ruach Mitzuyah and Mitzuyah. So what is, there's no real speed of winds that we would call Mitzuyah or not Mitzuyah. What's normal, what's uncommonly strong? It goes by where you are. The normal winds that are blowing at the time of the year in the place that you are on ground level. That would be the general standard. It's a very subjective standard, Nissim Kerlet says. If you were to make your sukkah on top of a roof and it's not strong enough to withstand this winds at the top of the roof, but it's able to withstand winds on ground, where there's trees and things, you know, that would be more, it wouldn't be as strong as it would be on the roof. Rabbi Yashiv Paskins, it's not a good sukkah. And he says, even he goes further to say, the Nidhi also brings it from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rabbi Yashiv goes further, it's brought in Asher Yish, he goes further to say that even if the sukkah was made on the ground, on the grass, it would need to be strong enough to withstand the winds that are on the roof. That's still considered Ruach Mitzuyah B'Yabasha between those two cases. There's a Ber Hetiv in Tuf Lamed, in Tuf Resh Lamed, Us Yud. He says, what if it's surrounded, but what if you built a sukkah that's not able to withstand normal winds, but it's surrounded by walls? If you built it in a place that's surrounded by buildings, you know, so it's not going to blow away. There's no concern. So the Magen Avraham holds still there's an issue of not able to withstand normal winds. Just like here, We don't go by the place where the sukkah is. You can understand like that. Just like here we say, but we go by the place where the sukkah is. Even though it's on the sea, it's not going to last. But we say we go by the normal place where it's supposed to be. Most people build the yabasha. It's a sukkah. So to there, we'll say, even though it happens to be in a case where it's okay, but over here, we go by the normal place. And in a normal situation, this sukkah that's surrounded by walls, in this case, surrounded by buildings, whatever, would blow away. It wouldn't be able to withstand a normal wind. So the Magen Avraham holds it doesn't work. That's not a good sukkah. It's not able to withstand a normal wind, even if it's somehow blocked from around it. There is a bit, the Be'er Heita brings opinions, however, that argue on the Magen Avraham. Maybe we'll get into it later. Maybe there's more on that later. I don't know. It's a machlokas. Okay. Let's continue. The schach also, they say, not just an issue with the defanis. The schach also has to be able to withstand normal winds. Let's talk for a second, because that's the end of sukkah that's on the wagon or on the roof. Just to go halacha a little bit, the side point, sukkah mobiles, right? You have a sukkah on the car, same thing, it's kosher. Rabbi Pesach Frank has a case in the Mikra Kodesh, sukkah chilek aleph siman aleph. He discusses this halacha specifically. Barosha gola barosha svina. The next part of our gemara will go into the next two cases of barosha ilan and barosha gamal. So we're going to talk about this here. He says sukkah mobile is kosher. So what? Let's talk about the case of olin labiyantif or not. Can you be olin labiyantif? So the Shmir Shabbos Kiyachas Apaskins in Simon Chaf Os Pei, he says that you can open a car if there's no. Nowadays it's like doesn't work because the cars they have all sorts of stuff. But like if you had a normal car, just a normal car, there's no electricity, no lights are going to go on, no nothing, there's no issues. It's just the car, and you can open the door to the car on Shabbos Yontif, and you can sit in the car. On Shabbos and Yontif, Rabbi says even if it's going to move a little bit, you'd still sit there. He says best not to because it looks bad. You shouldn't do it. Like Lomai said, don't do that. But you technically could do it. So as far as the Olam Labiyantif of the sukkah mobile, there may be more of a makam lahakel to go into it. You would be able to go into it in that case, even on Shabbos and Yontif. He gives what about a case of a sukkah in an airplane? Sukkah in an airplane. And then we're finished after this, don't worry. Sukkah on an airplane. So there's an issue of oil zarek. Is a moving oil, is a moving tent considered to be an oil as it's moving? So the Pesach Frank goes there through all the shittas in the Sefer Nozer, Nogeta Mishnah Oilus, and he basically sums up by all opinions there is some difference whether it's in the air, totally suspended in the air, or whether it's resting on some level, either on wheels or whatever, on the ground. There's some way that it's connected and moving on the ground. So he says, for sukkah, that'll be a distinction. If it's in the air, suspended, actually above whatever, then it's considered to be oil zarek l'shmei oil. It wouldn't be an oil. It wouldn't count. So a sukkah in an airplane, on an airplane, would not count.
An airplane is closed anyways.
Well, we're talking like on top. That's what we're talking about. Okay, I mean like a really slow-moving airplane, some type of contraption. Not like, you're not like, flying a lal during sukkah. It's not negaya. So, right, so that's what we're dealing with. So he says that's called oil zarek l'shmei oil. Okay, there's some form of that if the oil is added, it's fine. Another case, it's just you might find this like once in a while, like somewhere that if there's no floor, you just have walls and schach and it's on wheels and you can move it around and different people can sit in it. That's also okay. That's halacha. Let's continue. Okay, and what's going on? Groy kodesh to Pesach Frank sukkah aleph first piece. Okay. You can't make the sukkah on top of a camel. Masnisin mani. Who's the Mishnah? When we talk about a sukkah on top of the camel, we're talking that you put like a board down and you made it in between the humps. Or maybe if the camel's wide enough, you built it, you're just using the camel. Whatever. But you built it on the humps of the camel. Masnisin mani, who's the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, ha'oisisu kasu agabi behema, Rabbi Meir mach, shir, Rabbi Yehuda poisel. When he makes his sukkah on top of behema, Rabbi Meir mach, shir, Rabbi Meir holds its kosher, Rabbi Yehuda poisel, and Rabbi Yehuda holds its puzzle. Okay, so we see our Mishnah says you can do it. Must be it's Rabbi Meir. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason, Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't make a sukkah on top of a camel? I'm a crow. The pasuk says hakas sukkas tasal choshivas yomim. Pasuk says you have to make the sukkah for 7 days. Hagasukas tasalucha, make hagasukas for yourself 7 days. Sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. We see from here that we need a sukkah. We need to make the sukkah that's able to last 7 days. The asiya of the sukkah has to be, shivas yam has to be ro'uy to last and to be used for all 7 days. So sukkah haru'uya l'shiva shma sukkah, sukkah shen ru'uya l'shiva l'shma sukkah. A sukkah that's fitting to be used for 7 days is called a sukkah. A sukkah that's not fitting to be used for 7 days is not a sukkah.
And we know in our Mishnah we said, "Ain olin la b'yomtiv." This sukkah you can't go on to on yomtiv, so you're missing a day that you can't use this sukkah. It's not ru'i l'shiva. It's not going to be proper to be used for 7 days. Okay, and this is a deraisa requirement that it has to be used for be usable for 7 days. Rabbi Meir. So how's Rabbi Meir say it's okay? How's our Mishnah say it's okay to have a sukkah on top of an animal, on top of a tree? That it's ain olin la b'yomtiv. Rabbi Meir, it's not ru'i l'shiva. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, here also, midraisa, that's a midraisa halacha. And midraisa has to be roi for 7 days. That's all midraisa requirement. Midraisa, by the Torah's requirement, by the Torah's rules, you can go up to an anyatif. The whole issue of not using a tree, not using a behemoth, is the rabbana, because you might come to rip off a branch. So, since midraisa, it's fine, just the rabbana made a gezeira. That's still called Ru'uya L'Shiva. We go with the Deraisa standards for that Deraisa Halacha. That's Rabbi Meir's argument. So therefore he holds it is Ru'uya L'Shiva. Very good. But he also will, Ein Achinami, agree that we do have this requirement that a sukkah needs to be Ru'uya L'Shiva. He'll just hold that a Derabanan issue that makes it not usable doesn't hinder that that requirement, the fulfillment of that requirement. Let me think for a second. Okay, now let's think for a second real quick. What about that case of Rabbi Akiva, that we have our sukkah on the yam, a normal sukkah? Because again, why do we assume we're talking about a normal sukkah in a normal situation? So we say our mission is Rabbi Akiva, a normal sukkah, i.e. the sukkah that we normally built on the ground level to withstand normal winds at ground level. And now you built it beyond. You built it on the sea. Well, what happened in the Maaseh with Rabbi Akiva? The sukkah blew away, right? It's going to blow away. It's not made to withstand the winds of the sea. So why isn't that a problem of Ein Ru'uya L'Shiva? Just to reanalyze that, why isn't that an issue? So Rabbi Yoshev describes it the following way in his Ha'ar. So Sefer Ha'ar, Rabbi Yoshev, very good Sefer. These are actually his shirim that he gave as a daf yomi, but in his shul, and people wrote it down. He says the following. He says basically, Ein Ru'uya L'Shiva is an issue in the design of the sukkah. If the sukkah as it is standing at the moment, and in that moment, its design is fitting, can be, if you project that design through 7 days, it's fitting, then it's fine. It works. It's a good sukkah. However, in this case, you can't project this design for 7 days because on Yontif, a sukkah designed in this model of sukkah isn't fitting for 7 days. So the fact that a outside wind comes and blows it away, that's not an issue in the design of the sukkah itself. We take the moment that you're sitting in it, we project it for 7 days to say, are you being yotze the mitzvah of sukkahs while you're sitting in this sukkah? Right? If this sukkah as it is standing now can be used for 7 days, good. You're yotze. If not, not. That's how he learns it. It's in the design. Not necessarily should we say it has to actually go through 7 days. But the difference would be sukkah
designed to withstand the actual conditions, or designed to withstand normal winds at ground level. I mean, it's in other words, it's the same question.
Well, the case would be it's as long before it blew away, it would be, and it was made to withstand normal winds at ground level. So before it blew away, we say the design of the sukkah. We're not looking at the conditions. We're just looking at the design of the sukkah, and we say this is a kosher sukkah as it's designed. And as long as it doesn't blow away, which it probably will, but as long as it doesn't, it would last 7 days. You'd be yotze. So we're not even though it's inevitable that's going to blow away. We just ignore that. Over here, taking all outside conditions not considered, the actual design of the sukkah cannot be followed through for 7 days. So while you're sitting in it, you're not yotze. The question is, while you're sitting in it before it blows away, were you yotze the mitzvah or not? It has to be a sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. To be a sukkah, to be yotze with. That's what Yoshev's answer. There would be a sukkah also that's probably going to fall through. It's not so sturdy, the sock's not so sturdy. Case would be earlier, the papers are going to dry up. These things are going to dry up, the sock's going to dry up and fall through. So that, although we don't do that, it's also to use a sukkah like that, midrabanan. It goes that you don't use the sukkah like that. However, that's not an issue on the deraisa level of Ein Ru'uya L'Shiva, because as long as while you're looking at it until it's actually dried up, as long as you still have it together, the sukkah in its current design, I can project for 7 days and say this will work for 7 days. Whereas here, in its current design, it doesn't go. That's not an issue of Ainu Ru'i L'Shiva. It's a Chiddush according to Rabbi Yashiv's understanding. Okay, let's continue. Next discussion. Now, that was really the Mishnah. Now we're going to go to a sort of a side discussion. I talked about making a sukkah on top of a tree, making a sukkah on top of a animal. Now we're going to go into using animals for walls of the sukkah. Okay, so we're going to go off our mission a little bit, and that's going to be our discussion for the rest of the shiur. I want to say just one quick halacha. If you made the sukkah on the ground level, you made sukkah on the ground, but you use the tree to withhold your schach on top. So you have the tree. Your schach is resting on trees, but your sukkah, your walls, whatever, they're all on the ground. Le'achila, you shouldn't do that. But nowadays, b'zmanenu, it used to be there was another issue. Nowadays, the issue doesn't exist. B'zmanenu, b'di'eved, you could make a sukkah like that. Issue because you're mamidim, the things that are holding up your schach are not kosher l'schach, it's ilan. But if you had another thing that's resting on the ilan and then holding up the schach, then that would be kosher l'hatchila also. Okay, that's just the Mishnah Berurah in these halachas. We basically already went through everything. Let's get into using animals as the funnest. Asal l'behema doifin l'sukkah. Because again, this is going to be a machlok, this would be meir and Rabbi Yehuda. You made a behema, you took a behema, you took an animal, and you made it a doifin l'sukkah. You made this as animal, as a wall for your sukkah. Rabbi Meir Paisel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Meir holds its pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda holds its kosher. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about Tzar Bali Chaim in this discussion. I would think there's some type of issue, but okay, fine. So you're using this animal as a doifin l'sukkah. Rabbi Meir says it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Shahai Rabbi Meir Omer, kodav sheish baruach chayim, ein osin oso l'doifin l'sukkah v'lelechi l'mavu v'lepasin l'biros v'legolu l'kever. Rabbi Meir had a statement that he said that any thing that has a living neshama, living soul, in oisin oso, you can't use it as a wall for your sukkah, as a lechi for the mavui. Recap real quick: driveway closed on three sides up into rishos rabim. You need to have a partition. We talked about that yesterday. You have a vertical pole. One of the examples was a vertical pole of a lechi. You can't use that any animal as that vertical pole, as that lechi. You can't use it for it to make up the L-shaped corners of a box that would be considered to be a partition, be considered a mechitza for a public well, to draw from that well and be considered a rishus hayachid. You can't use it for walls, using it for walls. Pesi beros are amma by amma, on all four sides, outlining the corners of a box. You can't use an animal to make those mechitzas. And you can't use it as a cover for a tomb. It's something like what we have nowadays. When you go to a basic forest, they have that piece of stone, down on the ground. That would be a golel kever. You can't use that for a golel kever. Golel kever had certain nafkaminas agabi tuma, it would be matame. Okay. It's really gemara and chulin. Let's continue. Mishum Rabbi Yosi Haglili Amru. They said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Haglili Af, in Kozvan Alav Gite Nashim. You can't write a get on an animal. All right. My time at the Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? Why can't you use, again, Rabbi Meir, we're going to go back. Rabbi Meir, that discussion, we see from that brisa there that Rabbi Meir holds, you cannot use an animal as a mechitza. You can't use an animal as a wall. In many cases. My time with Rabbi Meir, what's Peshat Rabbi Meir? Why can't you use an animal as a wall? Rabbi Yehuda again held that you could. Why can't you use an animal for a wall in our case of the sukkah? Abaye Amar Shema Thomas. Abaye says the reason is because the animal might die. Rabbi Zeira Amar Shema Tivruch. Rabbi Zeira says the concern is that the animal will run away. So Befil Kashor Kuliyama Lepligi. We're trying to understand like what's the difference between the two opinions. Abaye and Rabbi Zeira, why does Rabbi Meir hold you can't use an animal for a wall? Befil Kashor with a elephant that's tied down. Then there's no concern if he dies. Because even if he dies, you'll still have tentafachim. It'll still cover the area. So what if he's dead? Right? It's no problem having a dead elephant as one of your walls in your sukkah. He still covers tentafachim. Nothing to complain about. Kipligi befil she'eno kashor. The only issue that could come up would be if the elephant wasn't tied down. L'manda amar shema talmis lo cheshinan. For the opinion that holds that the concern is that he'll die, then even if he dies, there's no issue. So he's not tied up. The whole concern is that he'll die. If he dies, there's still tentafachim of a wall. Doesn't matter if he's alive or dead. L'manda amar gezeira shema tivruch. But by the other opinion, that it's a derabban nisr, it's a gzeira, to use an animal for a wall because it might run away. So then if you use an elephant that's not tied up, cheshinan, we would be choshesh. We would have a concern that it might run away. The elephant would run away.
So they all agree that a tied elephant is good?
Tied elephant's good. Good to go. You call Sukadipo. Shema Tivroch. So we say, oh, fine. Cheshinan. Lamanda amar gzeira shema Thomas nichesh. Shema Tivroch. Fine. So he has the following. Lamanda amar gzeira shema Thomas nichesh shema Tivroch. Like, okay, there's two concerns. It could die or it could run away. What kind of machlokus is that? Both of those concerns should exist. Any opinion should say, well, there's two concerns. It could die or it could run away. What is this opinion of Abai that says the issue is it'll die? We're not concerned that it'll run away. Even by the Amanda Amar that it'll die, you'd be concerned as well that it will run away. So we say you're right. You're right. Abaye, who says the issue is that it will die, agrees to Rabbi Zeira that there is also an issue that it will run away, but he's coming to add for another case, an additional case, and say there's also a concern that it will die. So we say Ela Befil She'eno Kashur, Kuliyam Leplegi. So rather, they all agree by a case where the elephant's not tied up that there's a concern that it will run away, because everyone agrees to the concern it will run away. The question is there a concern that it will die, or do we not have that concern? And what is the difference? What is the practical difference that will come out of whether we're concerned of whether or not it will die? Keep pligi b'behema kashura. They're arguing by a behema that's tied up. A behema, not an elephant, a normal behema that's tied up. Lamanda amar gzeira shema tamas cheshinan. Lamanda amar gzeira shema tivroch lo cheshinan. By the opinion that the concern is that it will die, so there's a concern. Because again, the idea is that it will die and then it will become less than 10 tefachim once it's dead. While it's standing, it's alive, it covers the area. When it's dead, it won't. By the opinion that the issue is a roll away, so it's tied up, so there's no concern. Lamanda amar gzeira shema tivroch nicha shema tamas. So we ask, okay, good. What about this opinion that it will run away? Rabbi Zeira, you held the issue is it will run away. Why aren't you concerned that there's an issue that it will die? And as long as it's not an elephant, it's a normal behema, it's some other animal, it won't cover 10 tefachim. So the Gemara answers, Misa lo shchicha. The opinion of Rabbi Zeira that we're not concerned of whether or not it will die. Because again, everyone agrees there's a concern it may run away and everyone must be tied up. The question is there a concern it will die and not cover 10 tefachim? So Rabbi Zeira says, Misa lo shchicha, Misa's not shchiach. Misa is not a concern. It's not something that is a foreseeable issue.
Every minute, right? Every moment. You're not worried about every moment.
We're not worried every moment that something might die. If we have time, we're going to keep reading as much as we can today because it goes into Chavdalit a lot. If we finish, after we finish the whole sugya, maybe we'll go back and make different observations on this discussion here. But this discussion, we're not making any other observations for the rest, side observations for the rest of this year. We're just going to go as far as we can. So he says we're concerned misa lo shchicha. He says misa is not shchiach. Misa is not an event that we take into consideration. V'ha'ika revocha. So now we're going to ask a side question. Okay, so we've established the machlokes and the nafkamina of the two opinions of why does Rabbi Meir hold why does Rabbi Meir hold that you cannot use a behema, a living animal, as the side of your sukkah? The difference would be Abai holds the issue is that it may die, and Rabbi Zeira holds that there's no concern of whether it will die, and both opinions hold that there will be a concern if it may run away. So you must tie up the animal. The animal must be tied up to cover that concern. The only question is there a concern that it will die or not? Okay.
But the animal somehow can figure out a way to sit down. You couldn't put it back up. It's like rebuilding the walls.
We're going to get into that in a second. The Gemara is actually going to ask that in a second. So you're a step ahead. It'll cover that issue. Just to cover also real quick, the Mishnah Berurah in the Shartzian. This halacha is brought. Tuf Reish Lamed Shartzian Nun. It was Nun. He says he's mesupik. This is that it has to be tied up, and we're concerned that we'll run away. We say it's a gezeira, there it goes, or shema tivroch, so you shouldn't use it as. That's why Rabbi Meir holds it. You shouldn't use the hema. He's mesupik. Did the rabbanon? We're gonna speak it out afterwards. Basically, he comes out that if you didn't tie it up, even before it ran away, you're not going to be yotzi your mitzvah sukkah. He's medayik from the gra. Let's skip it. Okay, let's continue. Okay. So he asked the following question. So he asked you a question. Even if the animal's standing, it's alive, it's well, but there's space in between its legs. It's not going to cover a whole wall. So we say the avad lebehutza v'dafna. You took palm leaves and other branches and you stuffed it up. You stuffed up that space. And you tied it together in a way that it's not going to come loose. So that's how you cover it. That's how you make a mechitza. So it's just a side question. How do you make a mechitza out of a behemah lemaisa? So we're just kind of analyzing now. There's space. Plug it up with hutza v'dafna. V'dilma riva. Oh, there should be a concern, we say, that maybe it will sit down. So even if it covers, even if it's alive, and it's covering tentafachim, and you're not concerned it will die. But still, maybe it'll crouch down, and it won't cover tentafachim. So what if you tied it up? So we say the mesicha b'ashle mil'el. The case is you chained it or tied it up from above also to something else. So this animal can't go below tentafachim. It can't get down. And, yeah, it's true. It's the whole thing. Alamada amar gzeir shema Thomas. So, but the mother of Kizir Shema Thomas, Nami, Hamasicha Ba'ashlem El. So he asked the following, what was the issue of Rabbi? Rabbi said, no, not only is there concern it will run away, but there's also a concern it will die. We say, well, what's the difference? The difference, what's he coming to add? He's coming to add that even a behemoth, if that's tied up, wouldn't work for a bit, wouldn't work for the wall. That's his opinion, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds you cannot use an animal for the wall of a sukkah, even if it's tied up, because it might die. Well, if you tie, and it'll become less than tentafachim, as we mentioned, but an elephant, as we said, is not an issue of that. So the question is, by Abaye then, that the concern is that by a tied up animal, it's not good because it might die and become less than tentafachim, and won't cover tentafachim. Well, if it's tied up from the top, even if it dies, it's going to remain suspended, it's going to remain standing. So what's the concern? HaMasich Ba'ash Dem El. We say, Zimnin Demoki B'pachas Meshlosho Somach L'Schach. The case is the case will be where the animal isn't 10 tefachim tall. It's like 7 and a mashahu tefachim tall, and you're relying on loved with the animal. So you tie the animal up, and you're using loved with the animal. It's kind of a chesh that we say loved with the animal, but we're using loved with this animal to make the sukkah. So once it dies, since it's only a shiva mashahu, there's a concern that it will contract a little bit. Its size will become, it'll become kafta. Kafta is like it contracts, it hardens. So it will harden, it will contract after its death a little bit, and you won't be able to notice that little bit, and you will no longer have loved, and you'll lose your mechitza. That's the concern of Abaye. So again, that's just that's the practical application that Abaye is coming to add for that case, that Dilma Mayas, maybe it will die. Okay. Now, I don't know if Abaye would hold that, therefore, any case that you tied up the animal, it's not good. No, I'm sorry. We see from the elephant. So specifically, Abaye, we see from the elephant like that. Abaye is only going to argue his whole thing of Shema Thomas, of adding that maybe it will die and giving this other reason, is to cover this specific case of this animal where it's 7.1, and then there's this concern. It's this specific case. Okay. But an animal that would be 10 tefachim, or if we're 8 tefachim, and there's no concern, it will contract, and it's tied down. By all opinions, that would be a kosher wall, even by Rabbi Meir. So that's kosher for your sukkah. So you have an animal, lemaisa. You have the animal, you tie it down, you can use it for the wall of your, for the side of your sukkah. That's actually paskin in the halacha. Okay. In a way that even if it will die, it won't go below the wall. You would still have a wall of 10 tefachim. All right. Now, that's the end of our discussion, really. So, we see that Abaye understood Rabbi Meir as a concern for this specific case, as we just mentioned, of where you're using Lovet in 7.1. He's concerned, Shema Thomas. Rabbi Meir is concerned that maybe it will die. Rabbi Zeira said, Milsa Lashich, we don't worry about Misa, by all opinions. But Abaye made it into a machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that by Rabbi Meir were concerned, there is a concern of Shema Thomas, and by Rabbi Yehuda, not only is there seemingly no concern of Shema Tivruch, but there certainly is no concern of Shema Thomas. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, there is no concern of Shema Thomas or Shema Tivruch by Rabbi Yehuda. And if you can use the animal. So there's a machlokus according to Abaye that Rabbi Meir holds we're concerned for Misa. Misa is, we take into consideration our concern for the possibility of death. And Rabbi holds we do not consider death to be a reasonable possibility. V'hatnan, but we learned it in Mishnah. Bas Yisrael shenasas l'kohen halo halach by l'medina siyam. Bas Yisrael, she marries a kohen, so she can eat truma as long as she's married to the kohen. The kohen goes l'medina siyam, he goes away, overseas. We don't know where his status is. Nobody knows what's happening with him. Ochelas betruma b'cheska shukayim. She can continue to eat truma with the assumption that her husband's alive. Ramin and Allah, but we had another brisa that we asked on this brisa, on this Mishnah, that we learned. It says hareze gitech sha'achas kodem yisasi asura lecho betruma miyad. That if a person gives his wife a get, this is the same case. Bas Yisrael married to a kohen. He gives her a get and says, 1 minute before I die, this will be your get. I'm giving you this get now. I'm giving you this divorce now to be effective 1 minute before I die. So every moment could be 1 minute before he dies. So we say it's asura lecho betruma miyad. It's asur for her to eat truma immediately. So we see we are concerned for Misa. That would be the difference between the two brises. So what would we say based on our assumption? Rabbi Meir chai shlamisa, Rabbi Yehuda lo chai shlamisa. Right? Rabbi Meir is koshe, she's concerned for Misa, Rabbi Yehuda is not. And that's how I would split the prices. One's like Rabbi Meir, one's like Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye, however, we have a statement of Abaye that he said it the opposite. V'amar Abaye lo kashya. Abaye said it's not a kashya. Har Rabbi Meir de lo chai shlamisa. This is Rabbi Meir that isn't concerned for Misa, that first case where he goes to Medinas Yam. And the second brisa, ha Rabbi Yehuda, the chayish lamisa. This is Rabbi Yehuda that is choshesh lamisa. We just said the opposite by Abaye. Where would he even be coming from to make such a statement that Rabbi Meir is not concerned for Misa, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Misa? The Tanya, that we learned in the brisa. He's coming on the basis that there's another, it is a brisa, it's the Sefta. Part of it's a Mishnah in Demai. That we find elsewhere that there is this apparent machlokus. The Rabbi Meir does hold that we are not concerned for Misa, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that we are concerned for Misa. The Tosefta says, Halakeach yayin mibein hakusim, one who buys a barrel of wine from the kusim, So what they would do, just to give a little background, at a certain point when the kusim were discovered to be over the Avodah, you can't buy their wine because it's yayin nesach. But before that, that was a later development. Before that, the kusim basically held of, like, they didn't hold of certain Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore they didn't hold of leaf ni'iva lo sitin michshol. They didn't hold the leaf ni'iva lo sitin michshol. You read it literally, there's no issue of making another person do an avera. So they would take maestros and trumas and tithe their produce for themselves. But when you sell it to somebody else, they would just sell it. They wouldn't care. That's one idea. The other psukim that they had to do this, fine. Also says be'achalta by the hafrashos, so they say, oh, it's only if you're going to eat it, but to sell it, you don't have to do it. Different things that they had to not do. So they wouldn't actually tithe. So if you buy it, you have to tithe it. So you buy wine from the kusim. We're talking about 100 lug here, for example, and say it's in a case where you can't tithe it. It's on Shabbos. You're in a case where you need to use it, and it's Shabbos. You can't be mafresh. Even ben ashmashis, you couldn't be mafresh in this case because it's vadai tevel. Fine. They also speak out maybe the cases where you don't have vessels that are tohor to put the maestros trumas in. So we say, Omer shnei lugin shani yasid lahafresh harihin truma. Two lugin that'll be mafresh in the future are truma. Asara maeserishin, 10 are maeserishin to the levi, and tisha are maesersheni, and 9 will be maeserheni. Okay, the case is here, basically, there's a rule of v'yesh brera or ein brera. Do we consider, are you allowed to say that two lugin floating in this barrel will be truma? Which lugin? It'll be discovered, the two lugin that I will, shani asid lahafish, that I in the future, i.e. after Shabbos, will separate, those two lugin now are truma, and everything else is not truma. I've already separated the truma, even though it's still floating in. So it's a reality that hasn't yet been clarified. Do we view it as existing at the moment? To act upon. That's called brera. Something that will be clarified later on, can it be considered now to exist for the purposes of acting upon such a reality? That's the idea. So he holds yesh brera. Rabbi Meir held yesh brera. So what I could do is I could say in the barrel, the two lugin that I'll be mafresh later on, i.e. it won't become clear which lugin they are until later, Harehi and Truma, they're Truma right now. Again, Truma would be a 50th, so it would be two lugin out of 100 lug. Asara Meiser, 10, then you take Meiser Rishon for the Levi. 10 will be Meiser Rishon. The 10 that I'll be Mafresh later, that'll be Meiser Rishon. Wherever it is floating in the barrel, it'll come clear which they are when I take it afterwards. Right? Again, it's not exactly 10 because you already took 2, so it's really 9.8. Tisha Meiser Sheni, 9 for Meiser Sheni, you take afterwards. Again, that's really not 9 because it's 88.2 left, so it's really 8.8 that you're taking. Umeichel v'shoy semiyad. And because Meiser Sheni, you can be paid it with money, you can fix it. So we say if you can fix it, you should fix it in a case where you could be paid it with money. For example, it's like not Shabbos, but if it's in the case, the other case we mentioned, where you don't have kelim that are Torah to put the Meiser, since you can't actually take it now, whatever it would be, you should be mechalo it on money. Some say umeichel means that you can just immediately drink it. It's different lashonos. Or to mix it with water, whatever it means. V'shoy semiyad, you can drink it immediately. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And say that what I'm drinking, I'm not drinking, I'm drinking chulin that's already been separated. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, Osrit. Okay. They hold it's Osir, so they hold seemingly, okay. We're going to stop because we have to stop. We're going to go through tomorrow. Really going to pick up in the middle. It's in the middle of a discussion here. So we're going to pick up. So everyone just kind of review, if you could, that just Chof Gimel on the base. You have to review that because it's going to be really in the middle of a discussion. Okay. Wow. Just go. Yeah.